Pharaoh concerning the nation of Israel. And in chapter 12, we see the Passover, the Lord's Passover instituted or given. And so I want to read verses 1 through 14. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, The tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. Ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. Thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I have passed through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses wherein you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. Ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." You know, in the Passover, we have a very vivid picture of our Lord Jesus Christ and his death on our behalf. In fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5, 7, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." So as we think about the Passover, it should remind us of Christ. You know, he is the fulfillment of, he is, you might say, the complete Passover. You know, that word Passover has a very simple meaning. Passover. It's really what it means. Passover. And of course, the Lord told the children of Israel, "When I see the blood, I will pass over." In other words, I won't stop at your house. I won't visit your house with the judgment of God. That judgment was transferred to the Lamb of God. You know, that Lamb in the Old Testament really didn't take away the sin of the nation of Israel or the people of Israel. It only temporarily covered it. Jesus Christ took away that sin. And so, as we think about the Passover, I'm going to look at this a little bit. We ought to think about Christ, who really is the Passover for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for your love and your mercies. We thank you for this Old Testament story that so vividly pictures our Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death on our behalf. And we thank you for that. And I pray that you'd help us and help us to see these things clearly and to understand the price that was paid to pay our sin debt. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first of all thing I want to notice, and this is really, these are really simple things, but first of all, it is the Lord's Passover. It is the Lord's. If you notice in verse 12, he says, verse 11, "And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's pass over. Again, in verse 27, that ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshiped. So again, it reminds us, it is the Lord's Passover. If you look in verse 12, he says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. So you see that I am. He says, when I see the blood, verse 13, and again in verse 23, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. So this isn't really a Jewish thing. This is the Lord's Passover. It's the Lord's Passover. In fact, do you realize a stranger was allowed to partake? Now, they had to submit to the commands of God to partake of the Passover. But, you know, a Gentile or a stranger could partake if he submitted the Lord's commands. Look at verse 43. The Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then he shall eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall you break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. So really, you know, this wasn't just a Jewish thing. A Gentile could partake if he submitted, and that's what a stranger means, if he submitted to the command of the Lord. He needed to be circumcised. And so circumcision, you know, if they did not observe circumcision, they were not to partake of the Passover. And, you know, and it appears there's not, I guess, concrete evidence of this, but during the years of wandering in the wilderness. Now, that years of wandering, think about the wandering, what did they do in the wilderness? Why were they wandering? Because they were not obeying the Lord. So here was a people that had celebrated the Lord's Passover, but now they're in the wilderness. You know, they get to the wilderness, and the Bible talks about their wanderings in the wilderness. It speaks of them not obeying, and they wandered because they didn't obey the Lord. The only time the Passover is referred to in Numbers chapter, I think it's Numbers chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, and that was within the first year after they were in the wilderness. There's no record that they kept the Passover from then on until they got to Joshua chapter 5, and they were preparing to go in across the Jordan River to Jericho. And we find there that what happens is, the Bible tells us in that passage that Joshua circumcised all the men at that time because they had not circumcised them in the wilderness. You know why they didn't circumcise them in the wilderness? Because that generation wasn't obeying the Lord. Therefore, they did not keep the Passover. You see the type here? If you're not walking with God, you're not supposed to keep the Lord's table either. Obedience. God requires obedience for this close fellowship with Him. So, you know, circumcision was required to keep the Passover. And so it is the Lord's. The Lord sets the standard for this. Now, this Passover, one of the things that it demonstrates to us is that fellowship with God requires a sacrificial death. Notice in verse 5 of our text, chapter 12 of Exodus, it says this, your lamb shall be without blemish. So this sacrifice, and two things I want to notice about this sacrifice was to be without blemish. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male the first year. You shall take it out of the flock or from the goats. So it was to be taken out of the flock, and actually verse 3 tells us it was to be taken out of the flock on the 10th day of the month. So this is the first month, and the Jewish calendar calls this the month Nisan, which corresponds fairly closely with our month April. And but anyway, so on the 10th day of this month, they were to take the lamb out of the flock. They were to separate it from all the other animals, and they were to keep it up, verse 6 tells us, until the 14th day of the same. In other words, the 14th day of the month. So for 4 days, they were to take this animal out of the flock, and this time was to prove the character and quality of the sacrifice. In other words, they were supposed to observe that animal to make sure there was no blemishes in it. No blemishes in it. It was a time of proving. You know, our Lord Jesus had 3.5 years of earthly public ministry that proved by the severest censure and criticism that he was truly without blemish and without spot. In Luke chapter 11, verses 53 and 54, it says, "And he said these things unto them, as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently, to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him." You know, this was constant during the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, his earthly ministry. They were constantly trying to find some way to accuse him. In fact, in John chapter 8, verses 4 through 6, they brought a woman taken in adultery, and they said, "And Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou?" Now, they weren't really wanting just to know the truth. It says, this they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. To accuse him. Again in verse 46, he says to them, "Whence of you convinceth me of sin?" You know, I don't know what your Bible says, but my Bible doesn't give an answer to that question. Because they didn't have an answer. They couldn't give it. They couldn't give an example. In John 18, verse 38, Pilate said to the Jews, what? "I find no fault in him." I find no fault in him at all. And of course, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1, in verses 18 and 19, that we are not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. As a lamb, or like as that lamb in Exodus chapter 12. Yes, he was without blemish and without spot. Peter would go on to say in chapter 2, verses 21 to 23, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." He did no sin. In chapter 3, verse 18, "Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust." In fact, in one of his sermons in Jerusalem after the day of Pentecost, Peter said he called him the just one. And the word just one is capitalized. He is the just one. And then John tells us in 1 John 3, 5, "You know he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin." So this sacrifice, which pictures the Lord Jesus Christ, was to be without blemish. So it was a testing time. A testing time for that. The blood or life of the sacrifice had to be applied as God commanded. So again, God gives specific instructions how this is to be done. In verses 6 and 7, it says, "You shall keep it up unto the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." So they're all supposed to kill their lambs at the same time. "And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it." So this choice lamb was to be slain, its blood applied. to the side post and door, and you know, I often thought, did Jesus have this illustration of receiving him as Lord and Savior when he spoke of in John 6 when he said, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. Now, he went on to say, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they're life. So he's using an illustration. He's illustrating it with physical things. So this the blood, and which is the life thereof, Leviticus 17:11 tells us, the life of the flesh, of the sacrifice had to be applied as God commanded it. And, of course, we have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to apply his sacrifice to our sin to receive the new birth. So this reminds us that a sacrificial death is required. That's what the Passover is about. And the third thing we see here is this was to be a memorial of the Lord's deliverance from death. In other words, this is something that's to be remembered year after year. Verse 14, this day shall be unto you for a memorial. You shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Now this memorial is a reminder of the judgment of God upon Egypt for their sin against God. You know, James Fawcett Bryan said this, and I never thought about this the way they put it, but they said this, quote, at the moment when the Israelites were observing the newly instituted feast, that is the Passover, in the singular manner described, the threatened calamity overtook the Egyptians. It's more easy to imagine than describe the confusion and terror of that people suddenly roused from sleep and enveloped in darkness. None could assist their neighbors when the groans of the dying and the wild shrieks of mourners were heard everywhere around. The hope of every family was destroyed as a stroke. This judgment, terrible though it was, evinced the equity of divine retribution. For 80 years, the Egyptian has caused the male children of Israelites to be cast into the river. And now, all their firstborn fell under the stroke of the destroying angel. They were made in the justice of God to feel something of what they made his people feel. Many a time have the hands of sinners made the snares in which they themselves have been entangled and fallen into the pit which they have dug for the righteous. Unquote. For 80 years, they cast the newborn males, the children of Israel, into the river to the crocodiles. And now God visits their judgment. But you know, this is a reminder that God judges sin. God judges rebellion against him. You know, Egypt is typical of the world. It's a type of the world in the Bible. And so it's a reminder to the world that death will come upon all who will not accept the chosen of God sacrifice for sin. Let me stop here and say something. There was a mixed multitude that went up with Israel, that left Egypt with Israel. Now, it's believed some of them were Egyptians. Now, the Bible doesn't explicitly say, but could it be that was there a few Egyptians who had come to fear God because of all these plagues they're seeing that said, hey, we're putting blood over our door too. We're taking a lamb out of our flocks, and we're going to put the blood on our door. We believe God's going to do what he says. And when the children of Israel left Egypt, they went with them. They went with them. So, as I said, this wasn't just a Jewish thing. A stranger could partake there also. But it demonstrates to the world that God will not accept anyone who has not brought accepted God's chosen sacrifice for sin. The one whom the Passover lamb pictured was the man was clearly demonstrated by the man sent from God who said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. You see, there will never be another acceptable sacrifice for sin. We already have it. We already have it. And that sacrifice was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You either receive Jesus Christ as your Passover, your deliverance from the judgment of God, death and hell, or you will die without hope and without God. And so, really what the Passover reminds us and the Lord's table reminds us, because it says we remember his death. That's what the Lord's table is about, remembering his death till he come. It doesn't really say remembering his resurrection. You know, we remember the Lord's resurrection every Lord's day. That's why we worship on the Lord's day, because we are really celebrating his resurrection. But the Passover, you know, I'll just throw this out there. I didn't really get this from the Bible, but you know, this is just a thought I had. To remember death kind of brings sadness. The Son of God had to die because of me. You know, I don't think the Lord wants us to be reminded of that every week by observing the Lord's table every week. Or the children of Israel being reminded that the Egyptians died because they didn't believe in their God and being reminded every week. He said it to do it once a year. But we ought to be reminded that he rose from the dead every week. Every week we can celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But from time to time, we do need to be reminded of the price that was paid for our sin debt. You know, for the children of Israel, every year it was another specially chosen lamb. Every year. And I was reading one man who quoted Josephus in saying that in the time around the Lord's ministry or soon thereafter, that it's estimated there were probably 56,000 lambs slain on Passover. 56,000. If there's 2 million people in the wilderness, how many lambs do you think were slain? There's a lot of lambs dying. There's a lot of death. And to the children of Israel, this would be a vivid reminder of the price of sin. The price of sin. Now, of course, we are reminded of the price of sin. It took the life of the Son of God, the perfect man, the God-man, to pay the penalty for our sin and for the sins of the whole world. You know, the difference between the Lamb of the Old Testament and the Lord Jesus Christ is that his sacrifice is once for all. Once for all. There is, as Proverbs or as Hebrews 9 tells us, there is no more sacrifice for sin. It's done. And so as we think about the Passover and we think about the Lord's Supper, there is a parallel, but it's just a reminder of the death of our Savior who gave his life. And we are to remember it. We are to be reminded that our life with God came at a price. But you know, it also ought to remind us that there is a world out there without God and without hope, just like all the Egyptians. I'm sure there were Egyptians the children of Israel were friends with, had close association with, who had firstborns die the night of the first Passover. In a world without God, without accepting the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ for their sin is a world or a person that's going to die without hope and without God. And so we have, in the Passover, a picture of Christ's death for us. And that is what we remember when we remember the Lord's Supper. It is the Lord's meal. It is the Lord's memorial. A memorial that our Lord passed over our sin through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.